Hello, everybody. It's Pastor Chris and Carol Green once again, and we're so glad and excited that every one of you is here with us. It's another time for us to meet and talk about being King's kids, understanding God's heart. This is a session and a series that all started when the Lord spoke to me and told me I was a King's kid. Just a little thought and impression that came into my heart, and I didn't quite understand what in the world that meant. And then a couple of weeks later, we found ourselves in a conference that was called Father Loves You Conference. And the speaker there was a Norwegian pastor who began to talk about the Father's heart and what it meant to be a son and a daughter of the Lord. So it's amazing how God can drop a thought into your heart, then lead you to hear a special message in which he talked about what it was, how you can recognize when you're working and living out of an orphan spirit. And so we took you through some of the teaching that we received ourselves on how to identify when you're operating in an orphan spirit. And that is when a Christian lives a life as if though you don't have a parent, as if though you don't have any power, as if though you don't have any protection, as if though you don't have any provision, and if you don't as if though you don't have any purpose. So you begin to make decisions and do things as if though you don't have a father in heaven that you can go to and talk to, and as if though the people that he surrounds you with, spiritual parents, pastors, right, friends, as if though they don't have, you know, as if what they have to share with you has no meaning or no value in your life. And so the Lord has just really helped us, all of us, to identify in all of the ways in which we've been living and operating in the orphan spirit, because some of the biggest things are you lose so much. You lose so many of the benefits and the things that God already has for you, right, that are already in your house. It's already in your house. Yeah. Already in your life, and you can find yourself complaining, like in the parable that we talked about with the son, with the father that had two sons. One son, the younger son, asked for all of the, you know, his part of the inheritance, and he went out and wasted all of his. And then he had the other son, the elder son, who stayed at home, but he still really didn't have his daddy's heart, and he was angry when his dad received the younger son back. And felt like he was taken for granted and all of that. And so many of us have felt that way, like God's really not, he's really not paying any attention to the things that we're doing and serving him. And he's not answering our prayers and all those kinds of things. So I encourage you to go back and look at all and look at those DVDs or listen to those CDs on those first sessions of Kings, of being a King's kid, understanding the Father's heart. You know, this is session number 8. And so I'm telling you, go back and take a look or take a listen to all of those previous ones. It'll really bless your life. Yes. So that even what we're about to share with you in this session, it'll make more sense, because we got to dive right in there. Yes. Today. First of all, we're going to, as you know, each time we gather, we always make this prayer and this confession before the Lord, because even in showing you this video, and some of you are sitting there and you're wondering, why am I sitting in this church and I'm watching the pastor by videotape instead of them talking to us live? And the reason why is because the Lord gave us this strategy, and he told us that the three strongholds here in this community in Harrisburg are this, and that is a spirit of offense, a spirit of accusation, and the spirit of condemnation. Those three work together to keep the people of God from clearly hearing his word and understanding his word and receiving his word. So that when a pastor is preaching, or if a woman, male or female, or a speaker is talking, the people are sitting there feeling either accused, condemned, or offended, because it looks like that pastor, that person knows something about me, and they're preaching at me, and they're preaching against me, or they're accusing me. So by doing this by video, we don't know who's here. We don't know who's listening or watching. And so you can just clearly receive this as, is this the word of the Lord for me? Because these pastors don't know me. They're not physically in my face talking to me. They don't know. And so now it just totally destroys the enemy's plan to try to make you feel accused, condemned, or to get you into offense. Because we don't know who's listening to this CD. We don't know who's watching this video. And so just receive it now. Come on, let's pray this together. Lord, I pray that the word today would find good soil in my heart. I reject the spirit of offense, where the light of your word exposes my sin. I do not take offense. I will repent and turn to you, my heavenly Father. I reject condemnation. Your word says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. This word does not come to condemn me, but it comes to heal me. I reject accusation. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and this word does not come to accuse me or abuse me. This word exposes Satan and his lies, and I choose to believe and receive the truth. God says in his word, blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. For many prophets and righteous men desired to see what I see, and did not see it, and to hear what I hear, and did not hear it. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against or miss the will of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with me, your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word today. And Lord, we thank you for honoring this prayer. And I thank you, Lord God, that everyone that's either listening or watching would be able to hear, have ears to hear, hearts to receive. Carol and I, we decrease, that you would increase in this session today. Thank you, Lord God, that this is a divine appointment for someone today. I don't know the timing in which this tape will be played, but I sense your anointing now that somebody really needs to hear this word today. Thank you, Lord God. I don't know where all the places this CD may go and where this particular video may go, but God, I thank you that in this moment, in this time, in this season, this is someone's hour, destiny, and appointment with you today for this word. For this word shall free you. It will deliver you. If you will not take offense at this word, come on, look at me right now. If you won't take offense at this word that's about to come forth today, if you resist accusation, if you resist condemnation, God will set you free, even in your physical body. I don't know who I'm talking to, but even in your physical body, you will be healed today if you receive this word. We're here to talk about King's Kids today. From John, the 14th chapter, verse 18, it says, I will not leave you orphans, a promise that Jesus made. He said, I will come to you. And in the last session, we were talking about navigating to your future. Navigation is the science of determining the position of a person or a thing and charting a course for guiding them safely and expeditiously from one point to another. We talked about how before you even start navigating, the first thing you have to do in charting a course is start with where you are. And then you actually start on the course, and they have all kinds of different instruments and things that are available so the person would know that they're moving in the right direction, and they'll know where they are constantly. At any moment, they can always check their chart or their map or whatever and determine exactly where they are so they know how close they're getting to their destination. And we also talked about how you have to be willing to consider the experience and the judgment of others to help you to navigate to your future. I encourage you to get that last session so that it'll really be a blessing to your life. And we also talk about how you can have knowledge of the science but still lack the experience and the judgment. So just simply knowing what to do does not mean you know all the steps technically. You may know even scripture memory verses and all the been to the conference and they told you the 12 steps to this and the 10 steps to that.
But you don't know how to correctly apply it.
Yeah. Yes. In every
wisdom.
Day.
You don't have wisdom yet.
When you don't know how to do it in an everyday basis. There are people that have gotten A's on various examinations. We come from a church where there's a lot of training and leadership and Bible courses, and we have watched people score A's on the examinations but get F when it comes to a life example, when they actually had to live it out and apply it in their marriage, you know, with their children, on the job, in their business, in their finances. Then they got F's when it was time to apply what they got an A in a written examination. We also talked about nuggets of wisdom, and the first nugget that we presented to you comes right out of Proverbs, the 19th chapter, which talked about listening to counsel and receiving instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. And we said in an orphan's heart, since we were talking about the orphan spirit. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. And we talked about how the word counsel in the Hebrew language meant the plans of the Lord will stand, the prudence of the Lord will stand, the counselor, the counsel and the counselor, or even the purpose of the Lord. That's what will stand, and how that even come from a root word that means you have to be willing to deliberate and resolve issues and matters, working through lots of details when it comes to for the counsel of the Lord to come into your life, and not to run away from those details. And some of you, as we talked about, you, there were such things, you not only the paperwork issues, but then we got into the educational training issues that you have to work through when it comes to the plans of the Lord in your life. And then we went into the relational stuff that you got to deal with, marriage and family, your children, and all the way to internal stuff that you still may be struggling with, things that happened in your past, things you may still be struggling with in your emotions or in your passions. Things that still might be still struggling with in your finances, or conflicts that are unresolved within your family or with other pastors and other ministry. All that stuff has to be counted up and considered as part of the cost before you try to work your plans, or as you are working the plans that you believe the Lord has given you. Finally, we ended up with a very key statement that we're going to pick up with here right now and really begin to get into today. Now we're going to talk about how Are the plans that are in your heart, you know, is it really something that that God showed you that needs to be done, or is it something that God actually told you to do yourself? And so we made this statement so that you really can get this. But let's begin with first breaking down the meaning of that scripture from Proverbs 19. It said, "There are many plans in a man's or an orphan's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's advice will stand. The Lord's plan will stand. The Lord's prudence will stand. The Lord's purpose will stand." And so I remember that we mentioned to you that when you look at that particular scripture, it's actually saying to you that since it's the Lord's plan that's going to end up standing, that you can have plans that are not going to stand. It's a plan that's in your heart, but it may not necessarily be the Lord's plan. And if it's not the Lord's plan, it's not going to stand. There are a lot of good things that people are doing, but they're not necessarily God things. And you've got to come to a place where you discern the difference. Everything that God shows you that needs to be done does not mean he wants you to be the one to do it. Mm-hmm. Listen to that. You must find out what are the things you must do and what are the things that you must declare. There are certain things that God, his only intentions is that you are supposed to bring attention to the need. You were not supposed to try to address the need, to try to meet the need. You were simply supposed to declare. You were supposed to declare that this is something that needs to be dealt with in the body of Christ. Part of that declaration may be such things as simply talking about it in a prayer meeting so to make the body of Christ even aware that we need to be praying about this. Some of you will find yourself in positions within the community services and organizations and things like that, where you need to make it publicly known. Hey, we need to address this. We need to do something about this. Now, you may not be the one to be able to do anything about it, but you may simply be the one that needs to at least bring it up that we've got to do something about this. Too many kids don't have any school supplies. Too many kids don't have any clothes to go to school this year. And so that may be all the role that you have. That way you don't jump in there and start trying to do something that God hasn't graced you for, because he didn't plan for you to do that.
Yes, that's interesting too. If it's God, he brings provision.
Yeah.
In other words, for those who are to declare it, he'll make it possible for you to speak to those
have the influence to do it.
Right, and have the power to do it.
Yeah.
He'll actually, and if you are the one to actually do it, again, he'll bring the provision for you to do it. He'll bring the finances.
Yeah.
He'll bring the people into your life that you need. He'll bring the advice and counsel that you need into your life.
Yeah.
When it's God, He brings provision for the vision.
He absolutely does. And so now let's take a look from Matthew, the third chapter, the first three verses. We're going to look at a couple of people where this was exactly their situation. They were supposed to declare things, but not necessarily, they were not in the role to actually do something about it in a way that we think of today in implementing the plans of the Lord. Matthew, the third chapter says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Isn't that awesome? Then look, jump all the way down to verse 11, and it says this: "I indeed," this is John the Baptist talking, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me," I made that bold print on purpose so that you can get the point. John could not baptize them with fire. John saw clearly that they needed to be baptized in fire. But he said, "I can only baptize you in water." That's what I mean about accepting the role that you have. Some of you have been trying to baptize people in fire, and that's not your role. Your role was like John the Baptist. And what that meant by baptize you with water unto repentance, I am supposed to make you aware of the need to change. But I can't change you. The one who's going to change you is he who is coming after me. And that's why you've been so overburdened and worn out with trying to do things for God. And you haven't understood. All he wanted you to do was be a John the Baptist. John the Baptist's job was to declare. That's why I said, this is the one, a voice crying in the wilderness. John's role was not to try to baptize people in the fire. In other words, bring them to that place where the purification and even the presence of God would come into people's lives. Only thing he could do was prepare them for the Messiah who was coming after him. And some of you, that's what I mean. We call it the Messiah syndrome. You've been trying to be the Messiah. You've been trying to be the one to bring deliverance in people's life. You've been the one trying to bring change in people's life. You've been the one because you saw the need. Right. These Pharisees need to repent. These church people need to change. This city needs to be different. So you've been running around trying to make the change. And the only thing that God was really telling you to do was to be like John the Baptist. Right. Your role was to prepare.
Right. Or in other words, make aware of people's need to repent. Yes. And for those that chose to repent, to baptize them into their new life.
Into their new life, to bring them into their new life. And that's all you were supposed to do. Because he said, "But he who is coming after me is mightier than I." See, he recognized that. "Whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So come on, get relieved right now. Lord, that God, I see. Yes, I've been trying to work my ministry and my job, my business, my career. I've been trying to baptize my family in fire and with Holy Spirit and with fire. I've been trying to do it. God, that's your role. That's you. You just simply wanted me to declare, to prepare the way of the Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, get freed up right now. Come on, in fact, some of you just shake your hands like this. Some of you need to let out a deep breath.
Roll your shoulders.
Thank you, Lord. That's not my job. I'm not the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. There's only one Messiah. There's only one Christ. Jesus, the Messiah.
Yeah.
There's only one deliverer. You can't do the delivering. You can't do the healing. You can't. Some of you are frustrated because you've been trying to get people in various walks of life and that are involved in your life. Some of you who do have ministries going for, singing groups going for, all kinds of stuff that you're involved in. You're trying to get your career and ministry going in it, but I'm telling you what God has been telling you to do all along was you was just simply supposed to be preparing the way of the Lord, not trying to do all of this yourself. My Lord. See, God's purpose and plan for you may be to prepare the way for another that will follow you. And that even now I want to go past the spiritual to actually talking about some of the things just in a very natural, if you allow me to say, in a very natural way. Some of you are trying to implement things in your ministry that's not for your ministry to do. There's somebody else's ministry that's supposed to do it. One of the great things that I have seen in my life, and I got to remember, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 4 years old. So now you can do the math and see what year it is now, and you know how old I am. I've been in the house of God, and I've seen many, many, just scores and scores of people trying to do things in ministry that was not their place. It was not their calling. Somebody else was gifted, called, appointed, anointed, commissioned, all those words to do it. But it was a desire that they had. This person had a desire to do it. And so they tried to do something that was really for the next person in line. Their ministry was simply supposed to prepare people's hearts to receive the next ministry that was going to come along. A lot of them, I don't mean to put down any parachurch ministries. I mean those ministries that work alongside of the churches. But a lot of them are trying to do the role of the church. And that's because some of them, they left the church because the church was, quote, ain't doing nothing. So they went out and tried to do something. But
without
being trained and preparing, yes. Even after they got the training and the preparing, here I'm saying, they still didn't understand that there are certain things that God reserves for his church to do. Not something on the outside, not a parachurch. There are certain things that only his church is supposed to do, and they are trying to do it. Yeah, they got the skills, they got the training, they got the know-how, all of that. And the reason why it doesn't work is because their role, as far as God is concerned, that person's role was to prepare the way for the next one that's supposed to do it. And then there are other things that the church is trying to do that God really did not assign those roles and responsibilities for the church. So I'm telling you, you have to really get cued in on what the Lord is speaking. This is a precious nugget for you to catch today, that everything that God shows you that needs to be done does not mean you and I are the one to do it. Listen to me closely. Because many of you are operating out of need. You see needs all around you. Mm-hmm. Jesus was not need oriented.
Right.
He did not come into a crowd of people. He's surrounded by so many needs. He just lost his mind and just all praying and healing folks because he's just so driven with needs all around him. No, the Bible says he was moved with compassion when he saw the sheep, saw people on it scattered about, and they were like sheep that were scattered. He was moved with compassion because they were fainting, but he still never left that principle of I do only those things I see my Father doing. I say only those things I hear my Father saying. He was not need driven. Jesus was not driven by needs. Therefore, he didn't get involved in anything or with anybody that his Father did not show him or tell him to get involved with. And many of you are involved with many things and many people that God never intended for you to be involved in. And the only reason why you got involved was because you saw the need or you felt the need. And right now you're overburdened and overtaxed and beat up and drained because you've been involved in people's lives who God never intended for you to be in their lives like that.
He never for you to do.
All he wanted you to do was to prepare that person for the next person that he was going to bring into their life like that.
Yeah.
But you weren't supposed to be the one. But you went further and tried to become their counselor and tried to become their guide. And you went, oh, no. And God didn't tell you to get into their life. You start trying to pay their bills for them and handle their deep problems and all. And you weren't nowhere equipped for it, wasn't trained for it, wasn't prepared for it. Yeah. Because all God wanted you to do was to get them aware of their need for God. That was it. But because you saw their need, you saw their desperation, you saw all the stuff that they really got to have.
And so
you identify. Some of you identify with, because I've been through that myself.
Yes.
And nobody helped me when I was in that position. So since nobody helped me, then I'm going to help them. And God didn't tell you to.
Right.
And so you're worn out, tore up, mad, furious with them, with church, with God, everybody, because you stepped out and you went beyond what even John the Baptist didn't do. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water. I can make you aware of your need, but I cannot bring you into that change. The one who's coming after me has got that ability to do that. And that's what I'm saying to you. Of course, John the Baptist was talking about Jesus, but it actually works that way. Same way in ministry. There are some of you, your role is to bring people into the awareness of their need. But God's going to use somebody else to come into their life to bring them into that deliverance, that baptism by fire that's necessary. Oh, my God. So God's purpose and plan, got to settle that. It may be for you to prepare the way for another that will follow you. Everything that God shows you that needs to be done doesn't mean that's what he wanted you to do. And here's another wonderful example of someone who was who had a desire to do something for God, but they were not the one. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. We're going to take the time to read this entire chapter, and then I get these few points that we want to make, and we'll get into the details of this in our next session. But for now, come on, just join in with us. This is a pretty long chapter, but take the time just to read along with us, because this is probably the most important point that we want to bring to you in the entire King's Kid series, and that is the things that God actually has called you to do. Come on, Carol Reeves, 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, starting at the first verse.
Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." Then Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but I have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to be shepherd, to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant known them. Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land, before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods? For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever.
Isn't this awesome? I don't know if you really catch all of the meaning of what this means, but I put up these points so that you can really see what God's plans are for you. I mean, when you hear this statement where I said everything that God shows you that needs to be done does not mean he wants you to be the one to do it. For some of you, you even though I told you that it's a relief and that it's a place of freedom, you really got sad because you keep thinking about the ministry that you want to build. You keep thinking about the things that you want to do for God. But I'm here to tell you that David was in the same place. David, King David, had it in his heart to build a house for the Lord. Some of you, you're right there. Lord, I want to build you a house. There's something that I know that's really needs to be established here in the earth. In fact, one of the Psalms where David was saying, you know, I will not give sleep to my eyes, now slumber to my eyelids until I build a habitation so for the Lord. So David, that was, I'm telling you, it was a driving, motivating thing with him. He couldn't even sleep because he knew that a house needed to be built for the Lord. Some of you are like that. There's a ministry that's deep in your heart and you can't sleep. You can't eat, can't sleep. It's all you think about all the time. But I'm here to tell you that still does not mean you're the one. It still doesn't mean that you're the one. Just because you can't sleep, it's on your mind, you can see it. And David had all of that. I'll show you later on in another couple of sessions. David had it already outlined, the whole temple. Yeah. All the plans, he had it all mapped out, all planned, all material, he had it all together. And God still told him, David, you're not the one. Some of you are like that. You done wrote down your plans. You done put everything that I talked about in the last session. You already got your incorporation papers, articles. You already done put together all the stuff that it takes to do that ministry. And I'm here to tell you, some of you listening to me, you're still not the one. Just like David. David had it all lined up, all mapped out, all planned, money already into it. He was ready. And God said, you're not the one. In fact, first of all, not only David had a desire to build the house, then the prophet told Nathan, when David told the prophet, listen, David told the prophet what was in his heart to do. And the prophet told him, go ahead, David, do what's in your heart.
Sounds
like a great idea. Go ahead and do what's all in your heart. Now it gets back to that proverb when it says, many are the plans in a man's heart. And David was in the same place.
Yes.
The plans were in his heart. And the prophet even told him, go ahead and do what's in your heart. But that same night, the Bible says, the word, the counsel. See what it said? The counsel of the Lord shall stand. Here I'm. Look at this. Don't get offended. Don't get offended. But I'm trying to help you right now. David had the plan in his heart, but here is just what that proverb said, but it's the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Even when the prophet told him at first, go ahead and do what's in your heart, God came and corrected the prophet and said, no, and you go tell David he's not the one. Because this is the counsel of the Lord.
Yes.
The counsel of the Lord came to Nathan, and then Nathan went and told David what the counsel of the Lord was. And David didn't get depressed about it. Some of you getting depressed right now as I'm telling you this. Oh, Lord, you ain't going to let me do. You're not going to let me build the ministry that I'll do. No, David didn't get depressed about it. David worshiped.
Right.
He blessed the Lord. Right. In fact, he's like, who am I that you would... that you would be so mindful and our people of my house. In fact, here's what the Lord said. Lord even told him, David, your descendant is going to build the house. Now you see what I told you when I said it's not for you. There are certain things that are not for you to do, but there's somebody after you that's supposed to do it. And just because you see the plans, just because you have the outlines, just because you know how it's all supposed to be put together, does not mean that you and I are the ones to build it. David's descendant, God told him, it's not you, David, it's your son. Your son, the one coming after you. Same thing with John the Baptist. John, you ain't the one. It's the one coming after you. And you've got to receive this. Some of you receive this word. It's the one coming after you.
Right. And you have, and you're missing the point. The David's desire, heart's desire, was to see God's desire.
God's desire.
Fulfilled and accomplished. So are you missing the point? What is your, are you fulfilling God's purpose for your life? Isn't that the point?
Isn't the point
to fulfill daddy's dream? Isn't that the point?
Yeah.
Not to fulfill your dream or your heart's desire or to put your will first. It's to always fulfill daddy's dream, to fulfill daddy's desire. Yeah. That's what's more important.
Yeah. In fact, I'll tell you what David did, another thing that David did in just a minute, but we've got to look at this. Here's what David made the switch, and he heard what God said. God said to David, David, I'm not wanting you to build me a house right now. I want to build your house.
Yes.
Look, people of God, this is what he said. Now you know why I've been so excited to get to this point. I've been waiting for weeks to get to tell you this. You've been working so hard to try to do something for God, to try to build him a ministry, to build him a house. And he's been saying, would you please stop? I'm trying to build your house.
Yes.
I'm trying to build your marriage. I'm trying to build your family. I'm trying to put some money in your pocket. I'm trying to help you build an inheritance and a storehouse for your house. Would you stop running and doing stuff and trying to make things happen and trying to do stuff for me and let me do something for you? He's our daddy.
Yes.
Daddy's first interest is never to try to get his kids to do something for him first. I am a father, folks. I'm not trying to get my sons to do something for me.
Right.
I'm trying to get my sons to receive what daddy's trying to do for them.
Don't you see?
That's what he's after with you. Would you receive that right now? Daddy, you are trying to be a daddy to me. You are trying to be my daddy, but I'm still so busy trying to do something for you. I'm still trying to build you a house. But God says, it's not time for you to try to build me a house. It's not time for you to try to build a ministry for me. I'm trying to build you.
Yes.
I'm working on you.
In fact, you have to be an example to those that you are ministering to. You have to be healthy. You have to be at a place where God has brought you through first, before you can bring anybody else through. When God used Moses as a deliverer, he delivered Moses first.
Yeah.
So that he could deliver the people.
This is what he's really after. So David submitted. Here's what you see. Look at the next one. David submitted to God's counsel, to God's advice, to God's plan.
Yes.
David submitted. Here's that word, to God's purpose. Yeah, we know, even as Carol just said that, we're not saying that everything in your life has got to be fixed
perfect.
And all prepared and perfect before God will release you. But he does want you at this point where David was, and that is, God, no matter what you say to me, I will receive your counsel, your advice, your plan, your purpose. That's the real point. You and I are not ready to do anything for God until you come to this place where you and I are willing to always receive God's counsel above my plans.
Yes.
If your plans must be implemented no matter what God says to you, then he cannot use you.
Right.
He calls you, one of the Proverbs calls it like taking thorns in your hand, a thorn bush, a branch of thorns in your hand. You can't do nothing with it. You can't handle it because it's too sharp. It's just too sharp, too many sharp points. And you're like that in God's hand. It's just too many sharp. He can't use you because your will is more important than his will. Your self-esteem is more important than his will. your self-affirmation, how feeling good about myself and feeling good about my work and my ministry is more important than his dream, than his plans. Yes. And so until you get to that point, we're not talking about being sinlessly perfect. Nobody gets there. But the one thing you must have, the one thing that has to be in place in your life in order for God to use you the way he wants to use you, is that you must be submitted to his counsel, to his advice, to his plans, to his purpose. So even if other stuff in your life ain't together, he knows that he will be able to get it together because you submitted. You submitted to him. So can you hear that? Can you receive this word today that he is trying to build your house? Stop trying to build the ministry. Stop. 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 Stop going around from church to church trying to get people to listen to your material, listen to your voice, listen to your singing or watch your dancing or participate in your gift. Stop. Stop. Stop trying to go around and trying to get somebody to a producer to hear you, to try to get the big break that's going to get you out of Harrisburg and moving on into national ministry and international contacts. Stop. Stop. Stop trying to build the ministry. Let God build your house. That's what he's after. He's trying to build your, that's what David was. And you got, some of you are in the same place as David. I already got it planned out. I know exactly. In fact, David being king, he had limitless resources to get it done. So it's not like when God told him no, it ain't like he couldn't have tried to do it anyway, because he had the money. He had the people. He had the resources. He had everything. He was the king. He was the king. He could have went and got it done anyway. But the man with all, because some of you, if you had the money, you would be doing your plans regardless of whether God told you to do it or not. But David, with all the money and all the people and all the backing and able to do whatever he wanted to do, stopped and received the counsel of the Lord and said, okay, I'm not the one. So what he did was David prepared his descendant to build the house. And some of you, that's what it's going to take. Yes. We'll get into those details next time because we're running out of time here. But I just wanted to at least show you. Here is what David did. First, he submitted to God's counsel. Mm-hmm. And when we get back next time, I'm going to show you just how much David really did prepare his descendants. Some of you, that is totally going to be your role and responsibility the rest of your natural life. Yes. Your role and responsibility is going to be getting the next person behind you ready to take it on. In fact, we know that firsthand. As you know, we've come from a church, a ministry way back in St. Louis. And one of the driving things in our ministry has been all along, we have constantly sought to prepare the next generation to take over after us. There are so many things that was in me and Carol's heart to do when we met. I mean, we met at Oral Roberts University, and we both were in the same major, mass communication and radio and television production and all those kinds of things. We like writing and animation and all that kind of stuff. You know what? Carol and I will never do it. But guess what? All of our children, without us ever saying anything to them, embraced all of the stuff that we thought that we were going to do. We realized
they picked up each aspect.
They picked up every aspect of stuff that we thought we would do.
Yes.
Our children will do it. Right. And the things that our children don't do, our grandchildren will do. So you know what we have decided to do with the rest of our lives? We have decided that we're going to do like David. We're going to prepare our descendants to build a house for God. Because what God wanted to do with Chris and Carol was to build our house.
Right.
So that our children could build him a house.
Right.
See, well, we could still be right now going on this great big quest for us to have our own production company and do movies and all that kind of stuff to try to pull that off because we saw it.
Yes.
We saw it. We saw it so clearly.
Yes.
We wondered, do we get tasted? But it wasn't for us to do. What God wanted Chris and Carol to do was prepare our descendants to do it. He put it in our hearts.
Yes.
So it's no doubt about what God put in your heart, some of you.
Right.
No doubt about what he put in your heart. But you got to settle. Are you the one who's supposed to do it? Or are you the one that was simply supposed to declare it? We found out our role was to declare it and prepare the way. Now our children are taking it on.
Yes.
And David went so far as even he sold into a work, a plan, and a vision that he would not even live to see.
Yes.
And so we'll get into that next week. But I want you to really receive this word. This is not a word that's come to depress you, but this word has come to free you. Some of you, you've been in a prison. You've been in a pressure prison trying to pull off something that God never intended for you to try to do. And you made your own prison. Now, can you receive this? Can you receive this from the Lord? Lord, I've been trying to do stuff that you intended for my descendants to do. Some of you, it's your natural descendants. Others of you, it's your spiritual descendants. Right, you have some spiritual sons and daughters that those things that are in your heart to do, they're going to be the ones that actually build that thing that's in your heart. Yes. They're going to build that ministry. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, they are. They're going to build that counseling center. They're going to build that girls club. They're going to build that recreational facility for boys. They're going to build that halfway house. Yes. They're going to build that transitional housing. They're going to build that movie production company. They're going to build that music business. They're going to do it. Your role and responsibility is to prepare them to build. You got to get them ready to build it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. Settle that right now. Lord, I'm going to be like David. I'm going to submit to your counsel. See, because he's an awesome daddy. He's an awesome father. Thank you, Lord. Come on, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this understanding coming to me so I can settle and live in my role and live in my responsibility. I refuse to go into depression and to be sad as I discover my responsibility and my role in my sin. I will not be jealous and envious of my spiritual or natural descendants. I thank you, Lord God. Yeah, that you freed me up enough to even be able to see the vision of the Lord, to see the plan of God. I'm glad I can see it. I'm glad you're showing me these details. I'm glad you're giving me these outlines and showing me the vision and the course and all the things that must happen. But Lord, I don't take on more responsibility than what I'm supposed to have. Lord, show me how to carry this baton like in a relay race and show me how to prepare my descendants to take it on long after me, because this is all about you, Lord. It's not about me. It's about you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I bless your name. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we bless you now for everyone that's listening to this and that they're able to receive this. And even after this, come on, just continue just to worship the Lord. Come on, receive it. This is the time of healing for somebody today. Just as I said from the outset, this word has come. If you will receive this word that we're speaking to you right now, God will heal your body. Yes, he will. He'll heal you right now, because part of what you've been under is the pressure. There's been a pressure that's been on your body, that's been on your life, been on your mind. You've been having all kinds of physical symptoms because of stress that's been on you, because you've been trying to take on something that was never yours to take on. God's healing you right now. He's healing you right now. Come on, as you're just telling him yes. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And what he's placing in your hands is so precious. It's so precious what he's giving you. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah, that's going to be part of your cry, just like with David. Lord, and I give sleep to my eyes, and I slumber to my eyelids until the habitation of the Lord is built. Even though that is your desire, what the Lord is saying is go ahead and rest. Go ahead and rest. I got it all under control. I got it on. All I want to do is build your house right now. I want to build your life. I want to build you. I want you to be strong emotionally. I want you to be strong physically. I want you to be strong financially. I want you to be strong in your relationships. I want you to be strong and settled so that as you pass this on to your descendants, natural and spiritual, they're able to get off to a great start because you're strengthened. Come on. Come on. Say to the Lord, Lord, build my house. That's right. I'm going to start trying to build yours. I'm going to let you build me. Build me, Lord God. Build me. Build me up, Lord God. Strengthen me, Lord God. Straighten me out. Reconstruct me, Lord God. Renovate me. Rehabilitate me. You're everything that's necessary. Do it in me, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord. We bless your name. God bless you. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Come on, give God praise. Come on, right where you are, give God praise. Just give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. He's a good God. Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. We'll see you next time. We got some really special stuff to show you next time. That's how David got his descendants ready. And we're going to show you how to get the next ones ready. Still talking about being king's kid. This is about understanding God's heart. He wants us to think like he thinks. And he's always thinking about passing on the best to the next generation. Come on, bless the Lord today. We'll talk to you. We'll be back again at it next time.